If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
The best investment you can make is not a piece of real estate. It's actually right here between your ears.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Marco Santorelli and his team at Narada Real Estate Investments help take the guesswork out of real estate investing by researching top real estate growth markets and structuring complete turnkey real estate investments. They help you succeed by minimizing risk and maximizing profitability. Marco, welcome to the show.
Sam, honored to be on your show. I'm very excited about this.
Man, this is awesome. It's been 2 or 3 years, I think, since we first met. And it's great to circle the wagons again, back up, and really hear where you guys are in your business and what's going on in your world. If you can give us, you know, just a brief synopsis of where you started in real estate, where you are now, and how you got there.
Yeah, well, the short answer to that is I personally started in real estate when I was 18 years old. I was kind of thinking about it at 16, and I knew that's what I wanted to do. So I actually bought my first rental property at 18. Then I got my real estate license, and then I bought another property, and the writing was on the wall because I just loved real estate. I really was a business owner and entrepreneur from an early age. I was always involved in something like network marketing or whatever. So my entrepreneurship led to, you know, my real estate investing, because if you and I and other people listening to this are business owners, the idea, the magic formula is make as much money in your business as you possibly can, and then shift those profits as tax efficiently as possible into real estate to grow and scale your real estate portfolio, because you need to do something with that money, and you can work with those profits tax efficiently by building a real estate portfolio. Now you store your wealth and you grow your wealth in the real estate portfolio. So I started when I was 18, I had a lot of businesses in between that and 2003. 2003 was that magical year where I shifted to starting my existing business, which is helping other people build their real estate portfolios, which is Narada Real Estate Investments, as you know. And then, you know, I kind of incubated that business and then, you know, grew it organically. And then I started to scale the business, which goes full circle to what I was just saying. You grow your business, grow your income, your profit, put that into real estate.
Gotcha. Okay. So you obviously, you're helping investors currently grow their real estate portfolio. And this is mostly on the residential side. Is that right? Or you guys also do commercial?
I'm involved personally in commercial. My company doesn't get involved in the commercial for various reasons. It's 1-4 unit. Now, that doesn't mean we can't do larger projects, and we have. We can do apartment buildings, and we have. We can do syndications, and we have. It's just not what we advertise, because let's look at it this way. If you look at a pyramid, it's only the top 5 or 10% of people that go into the commercial or apartment space. The other 80 or 90%, they're looking at, you know, single family, duplex, and fourplex. So we cater to that bulk of the population.
And are you guys working across the country? Are you specifically in California? Or where are you guys investing right now?
Brother, I wouldn't touch California with a 10-foot pole.
Which you live in California.
I live in California. But I did trademark the saying, live where you want, invest where it makes sense. So there's a lot of truth in that. I choose to live here because I like the ocean. I like the weather. I like everything in Southern California, lifestyle. But I would never invest in California. It's a speculator's game at best. So we're nationwide, but we're in about 20, 25 markets, including your beautiful market there of Memphis, Tennessee, which has been a perennial market. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, Memphis was our first market 17 years ago that we opened up. And we're still in Memphis to this day. It's that good of a market from an investment perspective.
Wow, that's fantastic. So if someone's looking to scale their residential holdings, obviously they can come to you. But really, they can scale that. And what I really want to hear from you is the tools or the strategies, not necessarily like, hey, go use this website, but more like the strategies that you or that you advise your investors to use, or maybe strategies that you use. Can you kind of give us some, I mean, because finding enough property to provide to your investors is a skill all in of itself.
Yeah, and a challenge, because supply is really tight today. Demand is strong. Supply is tight. We've had tight supply since 1998. And it's just gotten worse. There was only about 2 years there, right before 2007, the Great Recession, or the housing market implosion, if you will. that we actually could have claimed that we had equilibrium in the housing market. Housing market in air quotes, because there's no such thing as a national housing market. Everything's local.
Sure.
But that was a period of time where we had some sort of equilibrium. Outside of that, demand has been far stripping supply, and it's a growing problem, actually. So where was I going with this?
Strategy for someone who, you know, finding assets in a tight environment like this. How are you guys finding, and this could apply to anybody who's scaling the real estate portfolio. This doesn't have to apply to residential. It can apply to commercial. Or what are you guys doing?
Yeah, thank you. That was actually the point I was going to make, is that it doesn't matter whether you're investing in residential 1-4 unit or residential commercial, meaning apartments and whatnot. You can scale both, and you should be scaling both. From a strategy perspective, the strategy is very simple. At a high level, it's really buy and hold. Now, if you ever sell, in my opinion, the only reason to ever sell is really just to do a 1031 exchange, because you're looking to optimize your portfolio or scale your portfolio larger. That's the only reason to do a 1031. But you never sell just for the sake of selling, unless you have like a medical emergency or something critically a big issue and you need to pull equity out and liquidate what you hold. But real estate is meant to be bought and hold, not necessarily flipped, unless you know you're in that business. And I emphasize the word business because that's what it is. It's a business of flipping. It's not investing. Two different things. Investments produce cash flow. You buy, hold, generate income monthly and yearly. So the strategy is very simple. Buy and hold, buy and hold, buy and hold, and continue to grow your portfolio. And then you optimize it as you grow it by doing these 1031 exchanges and whatnot.
Right. What's the strategy you guys are using to acquire properties right now? If the supply is constrained, like what should a guy be doing or a gal be doing to go out and find property?
Good question. So you did ask me that before and I didn't answer it. The strategy is twofold. Number one, you have to have the right boots on the ground. You have to work with the right team of people, which I call acquisitions people. So we've got people on the ground in the different markets that we're in that their primary role is to go out and find these properties. Now, in most cases, they're somewhat distressed properties. They're not necessarily distressed. It could be a distressed homeowner and we're picking up properties at a discount. At the end of the day, we renovate those properties and provide them as completely refurbished turnkey properties, no deferred maintenance. That's one way. The other way, and this is a growing trend and has been for years, and I'm sure you've noticed this, there's this growing trend with new home builders in the build to rent model, or it goes by different names, but you know, build to rent is a pretty common name for it. They're specifically building homes designed with tenants in mind, designed for the property purchaser to be a landlord and lease that property out. And that is a growing trend, like a massive trend right now, especially in the South and the Southeast. That is how we're dealing with this inventory constraint, is by growing the access of available inventory out there, not just by refurbished, which is diminishing, but by new construction.
Right. Yeah. I mean, here in the South, you know, we call this the Mid-South and the Southeast. Of course, you know, land is something we have plenty of, so we can always build more. We just can't necessarily, there's just not enough supply on the refurbished side. So are you guys working with local builders then to build whole built-to-rent communities?
Yeah, exactly. We've just strategically picked builders that understand the model and are bullish, really dialed into growing their business by catering to this other buyer class. And so Tennessee is one of the states. Texas is one of the states. Florida is definitely one of the states. We're probably in 5 markets in Florida where we have builders building new construction homes, from Jacksonville all the way down to Southwest Florida. But you're going to see more of it. Like the next 10 years, you're going to see a growing trend in new construction for built to rent.
How do you keep track of that? Like, I mean, most of us as investors can't hardly keep track of, you know, our own portfolio and a few flips or whatever else we might be doing. I mean, you know, that's overwhelming, but running in 30 or 20 markets, however many you said you're in, like what in the world? You have to have developed amazing systems along the way. Can you speak to that?
Well, yeah, systems are important, but if you're asking, like, how do you keep track of what, the trends, you mean?
Or? No. Like, how do you keep track of all the projects you have and where they're at in the process and the pipeline? I mean, you certainly have developed some back-end processes as you've gone through the years.
Team. It's all about having the right team on board. Like, I keep track of the trends as far as what's happening in the markets around the country. So I track just over 500 markets. Well, I've got tools to do it. So sure. I keep track of population trends, you know, organic growth, supply and demand dynamics within each of those markets. And to a large degree, almost most importantly, appreciation trends. I want to make sure I'm clear with your audience. I'm not saying that you should chase appreciation or speculate. You're not investing because of appreciation.
Sure.
You're investing because you want to grow equity and have cash flow to support you monthly and annually. So I call cash flow the glue that holds your deal together. So if you have positive cash flow, that's great. That's called cash on cash return. And that's good. That's what you want, whether it's a business or real estate. But as the months and years go by, your equity grows. You're amortizing the loan. And on average, over time, the appreciation will grow the equity in your property. So you're gaining equity in two ways. And that's where your wealth comes in. And then you get to a point where you have a lot of equity, and now you could repurpose that equity and grow your portfolio even faster. So you want cash flow and you want equity growth. And that's what creates passive income and wealth. But we track markets, you know, based on demographics, the health of the housing market, affordability, and appreciation. So I track these 500 and some markets to see what markets are increasing and decreasing in terms of price growth. And that's really just measured in terms of not what has been the annual appreciation, but the appreciation trend. Is the appreciation, the momentum, is it increasing or decreasing? Markets that are flat or increasing are good markets to be in because you know you're going to fare well in the short and medium term. If a market is depreciating, or the momentum is de-accelerating, if that's the true word, accelerating, de-accelerating, decelerating.
There you go.
Then, you know, you got to kind of look at it a little more carefully and ask yourself, well, why is that happening? Is it because affordability is going, you know, south, or is there some other issue? But those are just basic things. The information's out there. You can find them. A lot of it's just free information. You know, you can go to Zillow, Trulia, Bureau of Labor Statistics. You can gather this information. There's paid websites as well, like Neighborhood Scout and a few others, where you basically have to pay a monthly or annual fee and you get, you know, market data. It's just putting it all together and drawing a conclusion from what you see. Or you could just work with us and we'll give you that information.
Right. Yeah. Because developing the eye for what that data even means. I mean, you can look at all the data, but if you can't synthesize it into a conclusionable action step, like, what's the point in all the data?
Yeah. Raw data is okay, but you need to be able to interpret it to give you intelligence. The data alone doesn't give you the intelligence that you need.
Right. No, that's absolutely a great point. So what are, I guess, you know, and I was curious about this in the, you know, you're talking about markets where prices are rising. Obviously, the California market, the prices are rising, but you don't buy there. So obviously, you're looking at some other statistics as well that are kind of guiding your decision-making process.
It comes down to population growth, jobs and job growth. Those are the core things. At the heart of it are jobs and job growth and population growth. Because if you have those, you have the drivers, the demand for the housing, for new homes and for rentals, because people need a place to live. If people are moving in or they're staying there and the population is growing, they need a place to go. And actually, that problem is getting worse today because of COVID. COVID has been driving people out of the, you know, larger cities and the inner core to the suburbs. So suburbs are seeing like explosive growth right now. And if you're positioned there, you're doing well. If you're not positioned there, that's where you should be focused right now, not the inner city. This whole thing about walkability and walkability score, that might have been a good thing a couple of years ago because there was a trend for people to be closer to work. But now, you know, a lot of us have become nomads. We're working from home using Zoom. We're doing what we do just remotely, right? So being tethered to the office has become less important this year. And so the home and your home office have become essentially your key focus. It's now your home and your business or your work. So that's one thing that's been going on. And just people being able to move around have given them the freedom and flexibility to actually move to the markets that they want to live in. It goes back to my saying, you live where you want, invest where it makes sense. Well, now you could live where you want and work where, you know, for many of us, where we can, if we're in sales or customer service or whatever it might be, a service-based industry. You can if you're a dentist or a doctor. Obviously, you need to, you know, your office. But that's been a trend. And then the other thing too, which a lot of people don't even think about, is to some degree, COVID has actually increased the divorce rate. So now you've got two people living in one home. And if they separate, now all of a sudden you've created a need for two households. So household formation is doubling because of divorces, you know, within that population of people that are being divorced. So that's further increasing pressure and demand on housing. So we've got this interesting dynamic and trend going on where demand for housing is not slowing down. It's increasing. And interest rates keep going down. And that's increasing affordability. You know, you don't buy based on price as much as you buy based on your monthly payment. Can I afford to live here? What's the monthly payment? Well, housing is actually, even though housing has gone up and it's more quote unquote expensive now than it was a year ago, in actuality, housing is more affordable now than it was a year ago because interest rates have come down. So even though prices have gone up, affordability has gone up with it. And so again, more demand and pressure on the housing markets because people are moving into that market.
Right. That's interesting. So in 17 years ago, you launched Narada Investments in 2003. Is that right?
January 2004 is when I launched Narada Real Estate Investments. And since then, now we have Narada Real Estate Funding, Narada Capital Management. We've got some other branded businesses around that to help investors invest, whether it be in real estate or in note, promissory notes. So yeah.
Gotcha. So you've got your hands in a lot of different aspects of real estate. And obviously we don't have time to dig into all of those, but I would like some high level, kind of some things, either bad advice or mistakes you've made, lessons that you've learned the hard way that maybe you could help the rest of us avoid.
Well, one thing, I mean, there's probably a laundry list of stuff that I can talk about, but one thing for sure is unless you know what you're doing in terms of property management. Now, there's a lot of people who self-manage like hundreds or thousands of miles away and do it very successfully. I know, you know, many of these people. But if you're just starting out, a hire full service professional property management. That's so critically important. I made the mistake of actually hiring my real estate agent who was my acquisitions person and bringing me deals. And I hired her on as a property manager because I didn't think it was that difficult or kind of a specialized skill. And she did okay, but that was about it. She didn't do a great job. There was a lot of problems, a lot of turnover. But the worst, the straw that broke the camel's back is she was collecting a lot of the rents in cash and money, like MoneyGram, you know, those like
money orders those, like, or you know, whatever else.
Money orders, yeah. So, you know, she basically ended up stealing $6,000 of rents from me. And I realized, okay, this is not good. So I fired her and I realized that I need someone who just specializes in professional property management and has divisions within the company. So it's not just one or two people doing everything. They have repairs and maintenance and everything else. So that was a mistake that cost me a lot of money. And I've learned the hard way to hire management.
Wow. Yeah, that's key. Finding the right industry partners. And we hear that a lot. I think that's the summary of what you're saying is that the right industry partners can make or break whatever it is you're investing in and how you're investing.
Yeah, I mean, I can go on and on. I mean, another quick one is to be market agnostic. You know, it's good to find the right market where the numbers and the fundamentals make sense. Start investing in that market, build a footprint, build a portfolio there. And that could be, you know, 3 to 5 single family homes. It could be a small apartment complex, depends on what you want as an investor, but build a base there. And get to the point where you reach a comfort level. For us, we have a rule of thumb, 3 to 5 properties in 3 to 5 markets. And that builds out a really good portfolio for you and your family.
Sure.
But once you've built a footprint in one market, look for another market geographically different. Usually that's in another state that has good fundamentals and preferably a growing trend in terms of population and you see appreciation momentum and start to build 3 to 5 properties or a small apartment or whatever it is for you to scale in that market and then do it in a third market. So have a minimum of 3 markets for that quote unquote geographic diversification. Now you can go as many as five, you don't need more than 5. So 3 to 5 markets is ideal. And then you just build the size of portfolio in each of those markets that, you know, meet your scalability goals.
That's a gold nugget. I love the thought process behind that. I think that also gives somebody a real clear just roadmap for how to build out a portfolio that's very actionable intelligence. So that's great. Jumping into the final four, if you were to distill everything that you know down to one piece of advice to an aspiring investor, if I could speak today, what would that one piece of advice be?
Real simple. Educate yourself. Build your knowledge and never stop learning. You need to be a lifelong student, just like Robert Kiyosaki. I mean, the guy's got, he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He's got, you know, thousands of rental units. But every time I see him, he's in the back of the room with a notepad in hand and he's writing notes, listening from someone who's like less than half of his age. But he's a perpetual student. He's constantly learning. He never stops learning. He reads at least one book a week, if not more. But I think that's the key is build your knowledge. Like
right.
The best investment you can make is not a piece of real estate. It's actually right here between your ears.
Right. No, that's fantastic advice. And this might be your answer as well for number two. What's one thing you're doing right now to stay on top of your game?
Exactly that.
Understood.
Really educate myself. Yeah. I'm a member of 6 mastermind groups.
Wow.
We are launching our own. When I say we, two of my partners, strategic partners, we're launching a very significant mastermind in the new year. And I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but I'll just say that we're in partnership with one of the Shark Tank sharks as part of that group. And So the idea there is to continually educate and build your knowledge by networking with other people who are doing what you want to do or know more than you, and you can grow because of what they know and they can help you and vice versa. That's the whole idea of a mastermind.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited to see that when it comes out. I bet that'll be spectacular. I don't care if there's a shark tank in the group or a shark in the shark tank in the group or not. If you were putting it on, I'd want to be a part of it. So that's fantastic. Well, you know. Third item is, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
My goal is to help 1 million people create passive income and create wealth so that they're financially independent and their families are financially free. So that's my goal, is to help touch and help educate 1 million people so they can take action.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. I wish you were around for my family when I was younger. So having come from nothing, having somebody like you that came along and gave the wisdom and insight, yeah, that's awesome. Good for you. I look forward to you accomplishing that goal. Lastly, how can our listeners get in touch with you?
I appreciate you asking so much, Sam. Thank you. Real simple, just our two websites, noradarealestate.com, N-O-R-A-D-A, noradarealestate.com is our mothership. The sister website is the name of my podcast, which is passiverealestateinvesting.com. So just passiverealestateinvesting.com and those two websites link to each other.
Marco, thanks for your time today. Certainly appreciate it. It's been awesome having you on. Great to see you again. And I certainly look forward to connecting here again in the near future.
Thank you, Sam. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.